Amen. All right, all right. All right, Luke chapter 10. Sit down, sit down, sit down. I love you too. I love you too. Very good. Excellent. Good to be here. What's that group back there doing? They're still standing. They lost back there. All right, good, good. Thank you, I appreciate that. Thank you again. Let's get there. We go. All right, excellent, excellent. All right, wonderful. Good to have you all here this morning. And that was a lovely special. I really enjoyed that. And where's Natalie? Where's Natalie at? Where's she at? Okay, Natalie. The only thing I could suggest doing better is getting the guitarist to stop singing because it sounds so beautiful without the guitarist just kept. All right. No. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, if you would. Luke chapter 10. And I love chapel. I love being here in chapel. I love this group. I enjoy it. It's just, this is the heartbeat of our college. It happens from 11 to noon each day. It's just what goes on here. The singing. I love hearing you sing. That's awesome. I love the congregational singing. I love our specials. Just what a joy it is to be a part of this. There's nothing like it. Something unique about Hiles Anderson College is the spirit we have in our chapels, despite our hymnal clapping and whatever that thing that they do over here. Whatever. Okay. All right. Luke chapter 10. We're going to begin reading here. Thank you. Luke chapter 10, we're going to begin reading here in verse number 30. It's a familiar passage. We've read it before. Luke chapter 10, verse 30, the Bible says here, and Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine and setting him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave unto the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Let's pray, and we'll have our message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for... Lord, while you were here on earth, you spoke much, and you gave us much scripture as you dealt with us and as you interacted with the disciples. And Lord, now we get to read it, we get to understand it, and Lord, apply it to our lives. Lord, please use the message that you would have for us this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Familiar story. I remember sitting in Sunday school, hearing this story the first time, and hearing about the Good Samaritan. And it's something I remember sitting in an old squeaky metal chair in the basement of our church as we learned all the different David and Goliath and Joseph and his brothers and Daniel in the lion's den. But one of the stories we learned about was here was the Good Samaritan, and it's something we've all heard before. We see how we have this man in the story that Christ is giving here. He says there's this man that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves and he was robbed. He was beat up. He was bludgeoned. He was stripped. He got worked over. And so here's this man that's all on side of the road. He's bloodied. He's possibly unconscious. He's weak. He's hurt. He's lost everything. But as the story goes here, he says that there's a priest came by, and when he saw him, Bible just says here that he passed by on the other side. He didn't even come up to him. He just, as soon as he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And in my mind, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if I was a priest in that day, This is probably what was going through his mind as a priest. As he's there with his breastplate, with his garments, with his ephod, and with his when he had all the 12 tribes, the stones of the 12 tribes of Israel, and as he's all dolled up, you might say, for his work, as he's thinking, "Hey, I am a priest. Hey, I cannot involve myself with dirt. With you know, I have to step separate. I am a holy man. I can't get dirty. I can't get it. There's pollution. I have to stay away from pollution. I am a sacred job. I have a sacred position. I can't be around that, because you know I'd get in trouble if I was to get pollution around the blood. I can't touch that blood, and I can't touch it. I need to stay away from that." So he just got to stay away from that, because hey, I'm a priest. I can't be around that. But then we also see here the next guy, Levite. Now, if you know what the Levites are, basically the workers. They are the helpers for the priests. They're like the assistant pastors for the priests. And if you know about being assistant pastors, you know the preachers do all the preaching, and then the assistant pastors do all the work, right? That's how it works? Okay. Just kidding. But you know, the Levite, they were the workers. And here we have this Levite. After the priest sees the man on the side of the road, and he just immediately, "Hey, sorry, I'm a priest, I can't be around that. Because I have my position, hey, I cannot be around that." But then we have this Levite. He at least comes up, but you got to realize the Levite, he's working, he's busy. He's got stuff to do. And he comes along and he sees him, and the Bible says he came up and at least looked at him. But it's like, he's looking at his watch, "Man, I got a list. I got stuff to do. I mean, we got some temple repairs. I mean, one of the bullocks got loose and knocked over a bunch of fences as in the corral as they were getting ready to have the offering for the sacrifice. And man, they just made a mess of the place. And we got some of the things are broken around there. We got some of the crisping pins are, you know, I don't know. I got to go find a Menards and get a crisping pin. We're missing one." And he's busy. He's got to listen. He's working hard. He says, I'd like to help, but I got things to do." The priest, he couldn't stop because of his position. But then we have the Levite. He comes by and he sees him, but he can't stop because he's got his program going. He's busy. He's been, I can't stop. I get busy. It's my job, and I got my profession. I got my job here. I got work to do. I can't stop. I got to go. But then we see here in this passage, the third guy, a Samaritan. The Samaritan, we see he stops. And the Bible says, has compassion on him. And the Bible says that he went and he bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And he paid the innkeeper, says, "Hey, here's some money to cover the expenses. When I come back, if it costs more than that, put it on my tab. When I come back, I'll pay you the rest." And we see here it's the Samaritan who had the compassion. And honest with you, learning and sitting in Sunday school, I go, "Yep, priest, bad guy. He should have stopped and helped. He should have said, you know, there's somebody on the side of the road and needs help. He should have helped him." But no, the priest just walks by. And I think of that Levite and I go, "Man, we learned about that Levite. Boy, bad guy. Shame on him. Shame on him for not stopping and helping." But then we go, "Let's hear it for the Samaritan who took and cared for this man and put him on his own beast and brought it in and bound up his wounds and poured oil on him and tried to mend and got his first aid kit out and tried to and help this man and saw him through to where he to his recovery." And we think, that's the good guy. And rightfully so. But what am I thinking? In my thinking, I always go, you know, bad priest, bad Levite, good Samaritan. But let me ask you a question. Is it possible that for us, that we can become like the high priest? If that we can become like the priest, if we can become like the Levite? We can. And honest with you, this morning, I have. I found myself being like the high priest and like the Levite one time. And God used something very special in my life to change my heart, to change my thinking, and I want to share that with you today. This is clear back. This is about 3 or 4 years after graduating from college, graduated in 1996, went out to be an assistant pastor. Man, I got busy. Got my job going and started working with the teenagers, started working with the juniors, started preaching junior church, started working on the buses, started a bus route, and busy in the church. Man, it was good. I enjoyed it. And I got really, and honestly, things, and God was blessing. Things were going good. And you know, I just, and as you get busy, you start to, you know, I got being the assistant pastor. Man, I was just, I loved what I was doing. But of course, you know, as you get into a position, you want to make yourself look good, right? You know, I wanted to look like pastor. I wanted to look pastorally. And what happened is there came a time when I needed a new pair of shoes as an assistant pastor. And I had hand-me-downs forever. And I had worn out my shoes from college. You know, how many of you have shoes that you wear out in college? You know, you just wear them out. I used to have a pair of shoes that I wore on the bus route. And you know how they were beyond shining. You want to know how I shine my shoes? I actually had a can of black spray paint, and I would spray paint my black shoes. About once a month, I would spray paint black my black shoes. They came out really shiny. I don't know, it smelled kind of funny for a while. But as assistant pastor, I got to the point where I said, you know what? I've always had these handy. You know, I always got my shoes from this French specialty store where we bought a lot of my clothing from. The name of it was called Bon Volante. It's a French, specialty, you know, like Von Maur. But it's the company in French means is Bon Volante. In English, it means goodwill. but that's where I got my all my shoes. But I go, now I'm an assistant pastor. I want to get myself a brand new pair of shoes. I want to get a pair of nice shoes. Not these, none of these hand-me-downs where the soles are flopping, you know, and I got the whole. I want to get myself a brand spanking new pair of shoes. So I started saving up because I want to look good. And I started saving up. Finally, I saved up $100 to buy myself. And I was gonna go to no Goodwill. I was not gonna go to stuff, etc. No, I'm gonna go to a fancy place, Sears and Roebuck. I'm gonna go to Sears and Roebuck. And so one Saturday morning, I had some time. I went over to Sears and I walked in there. And I walked over to the shoe department. And I start looking for the different sizes, and I'm looking for this size 11. And I get running around. And I'm just looking through all the different kinds of. And all of a sudden, boom! Right there they were, top shelf right there. It just like a, you know, the little ding, the light shines, just kind of glistens. They start glowing, rise up out of the. No. And like there they were. I needed a pair of brown shoes. There was the perfect pair of brown shoes. Man, I looked at them, they looked at me and says, yes, we're together. And I got them on, I tried them on, and man, it was like Cinderella, just whoosh. I think I just got quoted. But I put that shoe on, and it's like, man, this is perfect. This is the shoe that I've been looking at. And actually, I have one of those shoes right here with you today. That was... Okay, it's right here. I got that shoe, man, I could not, it was the perfect price. Man, I'm going to buy that shoe. And man, I went to the counter and I bought these pair of shoes and I was so excited because I was fine. I just knew with a new pair of brown shoes that looked just like this, I knew that my soul winning was going to be transformed. People are going to see my shoes and say, what must I do to be saved? You know, just you know, I was going to have converts. My bus drives are going to grow. I just knew that sitting on the stage, the altar would be full of people coming to look at my shoes. So I walked out of there with my shoes. Man, I could not wait for Sunday morning. Okay? Push the pause on that story right there. Okay, now we're going to change to another story. We're coming back. Sometime before this, our buses ran throughout Marion, and about a little less than almost, maybe just right at a mile from the church, not very far away, just a few blocks from our church. We were picking up some elderly ladies from the Will Gardens care facility. But one day there was a gentleman who came with them on the bus. He was a middle-aged man, but though he was middle-aged, he had to live in the care facility because, and his name was Al Hall. Everybody knew him. His name was Alan Hall, but everybody just called him Al Hall. And he was able to get himself onto the bus, but the reason why he was in this care facility is because even as a middle-aged man, he had suffered a massive stroke. And it wiped him out. He could stand a little bit with a walker, but he couldn't really move himself much. But he was basically confined to a bed and confined to a wheelchair. He could stand and he could manipulate himself just a little bit. And at that particular time, he was actually able to, with a little stool, they were able to actually get up on the bus. Now, you know, the first step's always the hardest, right? But he was able to get himself up on the bus, but he was seriously, his motor skills were damaged. And he couldn't talk normal. When he talked, he always talked like this because it was very hard for him to speak. That's how he talked. And so every time he was carrying on a conversation, he had to really kind of listen hard for what he was saying because of the motor skills. But he came and he visited church, and I think it was either the first or second Sunday that he came and rode the bus to church, he got saved. One of the men in our church won him to Christ sitting in the back. And he began to ride the church bus every week. But the day came, and honestly, it was because of his situation, because he had some other medical conditions. He had diabetes, which was also affecting him. It was working on him. And at best, when he was doing full therapy, he could move a little bit. But it came to the point, and within 9 months or so, where he could not ride the bus anymore. And the question came, is there somebody that would be able to bring him to church? And of course, me being busy, hey, I'm a assistant pastor, busy, that's something I could fit in. So, man, that's a benevolent thing. And so I said, hey, pastor, let me give it a shot. And so what I would do is I would come back from the bus route, and I would have about 10 minutes as soon as I got off the bus, I'd hop into my station wagon. I love station wagons. You got to own a station wagon at least once in your life. But I had a station wagon. And I would hop in the station wagon. I would buzz down to the to Willow Gardens where he stayed. And what I'd do is I'd pull right up to the front door. I'd run in, find a desk where they had to sign him out, sign your name and everything, what time you're clocking him in, clock him out. Sign him out, and I'd run to his room. He'd be already there in his wheelchair, and I had to wheel the wheelchair out the front doors, right to my car. And I would wheel him right up. I'd open up the front door, he would stand up, plop into the front seat. I'd shut the door, fold up the wheelchair, run around to the back, open up the back hatch, because it's a station wagon, and throw it in, close the hatch, run around to my side, hop in the car, and then buzz back to church. And as soon as I got to church, reverse procedure. Hop out of my door, run around back, open up the hatch, pull the wheelchair around, open up the door, he stands up, plops in the wheelchair, run him into church, and whew, we're back. And I began doing this every Sunday. But the problem was, I didn't realize at the time, but I wasn't doing it for the right reason. I was just doing it because, I'm trying to add a little badge to my, things I do. And what happened was, I forgot who I was transporting. And what happened was, remember the shoe? I got these brand new shoes. Man, I was so excited about my shoes. What happened was I got up the following morning. I got my brand new shoes, all excited. They're all brand new. I'm ready to go to church, win the world of Christ with my new shoes. And so I get up to church with my brand new shoes. I get on the bus with my brand new shoes. I get back to the church with my brand new shoes. And I got my brand new shoes on. And I say, okay, it's time to go pick up Al. Okay, well, I'll pick up Al. And so I run down there. I run in. I do the same procedure like I always done. Run inside, check him out. Get Al in his wheelchair, run him out to the car, stand him up, open, put him in the car, close the door, go around to the back, open the hatch, put the wheelchair in the back, close the hatch, go around my side, take off, down to church. Man, I was, because, hey, I couldn't wait to get back to church. Why? Because I wanted to show everybody my new shoes. But what happened was I got to church, and we come around. I open up my door, come around the back, open up the hatch, pull the wheelchair out, open up the wheelchair, bring around to the side door, open up the side door. He stands up, hops in the wheelchair. And something different happened this time. As I was pulling back the wheelchair, I don't know what, something differently happened, but basically when I pulled back the wheelchair, I went like this with the wheelchair, and there was a rivet or something or a screw sticking out of the bottom of the wheelchair and right, just as I pulled it over, I put a large gash in the top. Of my shoe. The shoe wasn't even 24 hours old. My baby. I put a nice gash right across the top of my shiny brown shoe. And you know what? There was no spray paint in this puppy. But you know what happened right then and there? I looked down, look at me, I looked down and I looked at that brown shoe with that nice gash on it. And you know what? I got mad. Here I am in the ministry, here I am saving up money. I saved up $100 to buy a new pair of shoes, and I get a pair of new shoes, and I put them on here, and what do I get out of this thing? I get a scratch under my picking up. Wait a minute. Finally, my brain had enough sense to stop and look at Al. Al was a man who had gotten saved. Al was a man who would never have to worry about wearing nice new pair of shoes. He couldn't wear shoes. He'd never have to worry about wearing a suit ever again. He couldn't wear a suit. He would never have to worry about sitting at a platform getting to talk and speak and preach and he couldn't. He would never have to worry about wearing out a pair of shoes because he couldn't walk. And right then and there, as I looked down at him, it's like the Holy Spirit smote me. And the Holy Spirit says, Dan, you got it all wrong. You're doing things because of a position. You're doing things just because you're busy. You're not doing it for the right reason. And I learned a lesson that day. And that is this. Ministry is people. Ministry is not a position. Ministry isn't a program. Ministry isn't a profession. Ministry is people. It's not a nameplate. It's not a name on the side of the door. Ministry is people. And right then and there, after God smote my heart, I realized that my ministry was not to have nice shoes, not all this fancy, whatever. My ministry was that man right there. That man who knew Jesus, who was growing in the Lord, who had a love for the Lord that was might have been stronger than mine at that point. You know, I heard Al Hall say one day, he actually says, I thank God for my stroke. I go, what? He says, I thank God for my stroke because had I never gotten a stroke, I never would have come to church and heard about Jesus Christ. And I decided that day that I was going to make sure people are my ministry. And I made it when I picked up Al Hall, it wasn't just to pick a person up. It wasn't just to do a duty. It wasn't just to perform an act. It was to minister to a person. And from that day forward, we had fun when we came back and forth to church. After church, we would stop by Casey's and we'd pick up three things. Okay? Two of them were, only one of them he was supposed to have. Okay? Number one was the Sunday newspaper, because by the time he got back to the care facility on Sunday afternoon, the paper would be gone. And so we got him a newspaper, because he actually, well, before his stroke, he was actually a sports commentator. And so he loved reading the newspaper. So we would get him a newspaper. Number two, we would buy him a bag of chips. He was a diabetic. We were not supposed to have chips. We got him chips anyway. And he loved Diet Coke. And honest with you, I started ministering to him. I started ministering to Al Hall. I started saying, paying attention, saying, you know what? Whatever I can do to be a blessing to Al Hall, I want to be a blessing to him. He's not just a number. He's not just a person. No, he's somebody that God died for. And I began to minister. We started doing things. We were going to take our family out to go see Christmas lights. You know what we did? We swung back in and picked up Al Hall. And so here we are running around in our station wagon with the kids. We're going looking at Christmas lights and singing Christmas carols in the car. Al trying to at the same time. I learned to love people. And to be honest with you, we need to remember that ministry is people. It's not things. It's not just having a bus route. It's loving the people on the bus route. It's about loving the people on the bus route. It's not about just having a program. We got to have programs. We got to have activities. But success in a bus program is not, hey, I went to the zoo. That's great. Everybody goes to the zoo. Success is when we minister to the people that we've took to the zoo. It's not just, hey, we had a big day. That's great. We have a big day. We brought 50 people to church. That's great. A CTA bus can take 50 people to church. But it's, are we ministering to the people that are on the bus? Are we loving them and caring about them and seeing to their needs and doing what we can to let them make them feel loved in a world that does not know how to show love? We're supposed to ministry. Ministry is people. It's not a position. It's not a profession. It's not things. From that point on, I began to realize that people, we minister to people, not things. And we loved Al Hall, and eventually he moved away. Even when he was moved 2 hours away from us, one time we actually went and visited him while he was there. And the Lord took him home many years ago. But the lesson that I learned is that ministry is people. And I began to apply that to our life. And I had another many times when I got to show compassion to people. There was an elderly couple at our church named Bill and Wanda Kelsey. And they were both getting older, and they were racked with physical problems. Lord impressed upon me to give them a car. I gave them a car. Crazy. I wish I had that car back. No. But I gave a car. One time, there was a time, and I think Josiah might remember this. Pastor had called us and says, hey, Bill's coming home from the hospital. He went to the hospital, he has some really, really bad hip pain, and just... he's racked with pain throughout his body, but they can't do much for him. He's a state case, and they have no money, no treatment for him. They're basically kicking him out of the hospital and sending him home. We need to take him home. And so the pastor got him into the car, and we got him to his home. And as we were trying to help him up into the house, you know, it's awkward. But I remember Bill saying he was our head usher for years. But he says, he says, hey, I need to go to the bathroom right now. But he, because of his illness, because of his pain, he couldn't move. And for lack of better terms, he didn't make it. And so here we are, pastor, sister pastor, and my son, we're like trying to help him, and his wife, who was almost invalid herself, were trying to help him. And we saw to his needs. But I remember turning to my son, and I don't know if he remembers this, but basically I told him this. I says, this is the purest form of ministry. When you are helping people who can't pay you back, when you're helping people who are of no profit to you, when you're helping somebody that you're not going to get recognition for, that you're not going to get accolades for, you're not going to get a prize for, it's when you see the person on the side of the road who's been hurt, and you say, I'm going to sacrifice because I want to help this person. I'm going to sacrifice a Saturday. I'm going to sacrifice some money. I'm going to sacrifice my time. I'm going to, because there's some people that need to be helped. And that's what it is. It's not a bus route that needs to be run. No, it's people that need to be helped. And that's what our job is for. That's what we are here to do. That's what our job is as serving in the ministry. We're preparing for the ministry. What's the ministry? People. Yes, we mop floors. Yes, we fix windows. Yes, we have to run education. Yes, we have to do all that stuff. But ministry is people. We need to remember that. The people who reach your bus are going to be people who are caring about people. You know, this past Sunday, give another illustration. This past Sunday we had, I think her name was Ezel, is that correct? Ursel. She's a mother of one of our bus riders, the lady who's coming, has been coming for about the last year and a half, 2 years now. She came for the first time. But her face, she has some, like the, I don't know if they're called skin tags or some growths all over her face. She has these growths, these little things that stick out all over her face. And also, she was nervous about coming to church. She's so nervous about being out in public because she thought maybe people might. Do you know what I thought to myself? I want her to feel very special on this bus. And I'm so glad that I was sitting in the driver's seat. I got to see our bus workers treat her like she was a queen. Treat her like she was the best thing since sliced bread. I keep changing that. But you know what? That's our job, is to minister to people. To love the person, not just to love the job, not just to love the position, not just to love what we do, we minister to people. There's people on your bus route. There's a young child who needs to know, needs to learn what a family is. They need to know what love is. They need to know what kindness is. They need to know what virtue is. They need to know what holiness is. They need to know, and it's our job to show them, and it's our job to minister to them and give them and supply their need. Somebody challenge you today as we close. Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give him a life, a ransom for many. As God gave his life, time for us, it behooves us to take our life and spend it on other people. Not things, but the people. Think of the names, the people's names on your route, the people that you led to Christ, the people that are in your Sunday school class. Each one of those is a name, is a person who Jesus died for. And they are the ones we are supposed to be ministering to. Let's minister to people. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask that you would help us, Lord, to see the big picture. Lord, there's a lot of necessities of life. But the greatest necessity, the greatest need is that of helping people. That's why you left us on planet Earth. God, I ask that you would help us this morning to be reminded of that. Lord, help us not to get distracted from the main thing. We ask these things in your name.